Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, and Hummel's Wharf. Severe thunderstorm warning, by the way, in effect for Northumberland County until 5:15. We'll talk baseball in a moment, but first, our play-by-play call of the day. Anthony Rendon gets the job done with a grand slam against the Braves.
Here's the 2-0. Swing, a long drive, left field. This is way, way back, and it's a grand slam for Anthony Rendon. Home run number 23 for Anthony Rendon gives the Nationals a 6-2 lead. He now has 80 RBIs, and he has the big hit of the night.
Indeed, and they won last night. They closed the gap on the Braves in the National League East. All right, with that, we bring in Mark Snyder, Major League Baseball writer, CBSSports.com. Mark, welcome back. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Yeah, I'm Matt. Matt Snyder.
Oh, Matt, I'm sorry, Matt.
Okay.
This is an all Snyder hour. I've got a Ryan Snyder coming up next half hour. So I got it like all Snyders. So, Matt, welcome back. It's great to have you with us. Let's start with, I was talking to, it's one thing at this level, because not only doing Penn State football and basketball, I do the State College Spikes baseball games, the Cardinals affiliate. We've had a lot of scouts here the last 2 weeks, and especially this weekend. A couple of scouts were telling me, they said, look, we have no idea what we're going to do. I don't know if we're a buyer or a seller. Yet, to me, there are 22 teams still in it for the playoffs. I've only counted 8 that are out. So, Matt, in reality, how confusing is it right now to know who's a buyer and a seller?
Yeah, it's you just have to kind of try to read the tea leaves. I mean, it sounds like, obviously the team's in first place, and there's 4 in the National League because the Cubs and Cardinals are tied, and the Nationals are in playoff position, so they're buyers. Phillies 1 out, Brewers 1 out, they've got to be buyers. The Giants, it sounds like they're not going to sell at 2.5 out. I can't see any way in the world that they keep playing like this. But you can't justify to your fans when they've won 3 World Series to give up when you're 2.5 out. So they're in a tough spot. Diamondbacks 4 out. They should probably sell. I know 4 out sounds close, but there's 3 teams in between them. And with all these teams, they're all going to be playing each other. Somebody's got to win. And the Mets 6 out should definitely sell. I know they bought Stroman, but I think that's looking ahead to next year. They'll probably deal Wheeler and Syndergaard, and sounds like they might even deal Edwin Diaz, the closer. Behind that, Padres, they don't really have much to sell because they're going to likely contend next year. They're a good young up-and-coming team. So you're right. There's a lot of teams in it, especially on the National League side.
So let's talk about one of the problems that Arizona has, and that's the, quote, $32 million man, and that is Zach Greinke, who has a no-trade clause, but you and I both know that's leverage. Is he a key chip in this somewhere?
He might. I mean, it has to be a team that's willing to take on money, like the Phillies probably are. I could see the Braves maybe doing it. A lot of the big boys, like the Cubs, Yankees, Red Sox, they didn't want to spend big in the offseason, so I don't know why that would change right now. But, man, the Yankees, they really have a need in the rotation. They missed out on Stroman. It doesn't look like Bumgarner's available. They'd really need starting pitching. Greinke to the Yankees would make a lot of sense to me. And the thing is, he's worth the money. I mean, he's amazing again. 10-4 with a 2.87 ERA, a WHIPs under 1. He's outstanding, and I think he's going to continue to be. He's one of those guys that he's not a steamroll type pitcher who, when you lose your velocity, you just lose everything. He knows how to pitch with finesse. He knows how to pitch and get guys out, and that's gonna continue. So I would love him to the Yankees for the Yankees.
Right, yeah, and that would be huge. If he went to a National League team, He's also a decent bat for a pitcher.
Yep. Yep.
You know, just throwing that out there.
It's a great fit for the Phillies if they're willing to take on the money, yes. and they should be because they're right there.
Yeah, there, and he would be a guy that, if he were to go to the Phillies, obviously they have to give up a lot of prospects to do it, but it would take a lot of pressure off Aaron Nola, don't you think?
Yes, it would. The rotation's a mess behind him. It doesn't look like Jake Arrieta is ever going to get back consistency. So, yeah, you'd love to see things solidify. They just added Jason Vargas, but he's more of a back-end rotation type on a contender. So the 1-2 punch of Nola and Greinke would really, really help settle things down.
So, Matt, now let's get to the point you were making about the Giants. About a month ago, they were a lead pipe cinch to
yep.
deal because they were out of it. And then the idiots went out and started winning. Doggone it. I hate when you do this to us. So does this mean Madison Bumgarner on Thursday is still a Giant?
I think so. I think that a few years down the road, we're going to look back at this stretch and say, man, they really screwed Farhan Zaidi, the new general manager club president, because he has from Billy Beane with the A's, and then he was with the Dodgers with Andrew Friedman. Those are organizations that make savvy trades and restock the farm system. And that's what the Giants needed right now. And instead, they're winning with smoke and mirrors. There's no way they're this good. I mean, you've got Alex Dickerson hitting .391 with a .782 slugging percentage. Get out of here.
Yep.
He's 29 years old. That doesn't just happen. So eventually things are going to fall apart. And then we're going to look back and say, man, that really screwed them, because not only Bumgarner, but Will Smith, Tony Watson, they have several sellable arms that they could have yep. helped to try to stock the upper level of the minors with, and now they've missed their chance.
There are others out there. I want to get to Felipe Vasquez for a moment. It sounds like that the Dodgers do not want to part with their top shortstop prospect. So let's get to the
Correct.
Decision the Dodgers have to make. I mean, do the Dodgers really need Vasquez, or can they do the Red Sox postseason formula and identify a couple of starters that can fill gaps in the bullpen of the postseason?
Gosh, they do have a lot of starting rotation depth, so maybe that's an option, but it's a mess right now at the back end of that bullpen. Kenley Jansen is starting to look kind of washed up. Joe Kelly hasn't worked
out. Yeah, I
agree. There's no one reliable. And maybe if they were like the defending champs or something. But getting to the point, they win the NL West every single year. They go to the NLCS every single year. They've been to the World Series the last 2 years, but they haven't won at all. Your season's a failure at this point if you don't win the World Series. Do you really want to take the chance that you're going to find the right formula with all the guys you have in-house? I don't think you can leave anything to chance anymore, and I don't think any prospect would be untouchable because the rest of the roster is outstanding. The rotation's great. The position players all great. They have depth. They have unbelievable organizational depth. I think they should go for broke and just deal all the prospects they need to get whatever they can back there to solidify things.
Yeah, Matt, the Dodgers have two weaknesses, right? Leading into Jan, the bullpen's a mess, so you're right about that. The other one's defense. Dodgers' defense is not very good, which is surprising. I think they lead the National League in errors. All right, so now let's get to the Pirates part of it. Vasquez obviously is a chip where you've got to make a decision. Are there any games that we actually need to save? And then...
No. You lose every
exactly.
game now.
Exactly. So there's nothing to save, so why keep him? And then there's another guy, Dickerson. I know he's been hurt, but he's been back, and he's a bat that actually is a competent outfielder. Is he a potential chip?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Dickerson could and should be moved, and... You know what? If anybody wants Melky Cabrera's bat, he's still hitting over 300 at age 34.
Sure.
I think you do that. Those are the pieces right there. I don't. The Trevor Archer trade, the Chris Archer trade last year is an out and out disaster.
Yes.
And that's a cautionary tale for the Giants, by the way. The Pirates got hot in July and decided to make a trade, and that's what ended up coming to fruition. That's not good at all. That set the organization back. I would think about. I know that his name's not out there, and they're not going to do it because he's under team control through 2021, and he's very cheap. I would think about Starling Marte. I think they could get a lot back for him, and if they're going to finally realize, look, we're not contenders. And in this division, the Cubs aren't going anywhere. The Cardinals probably aren't. The Brewers are set to win now. And the Reds are up and coming. We got to rebuild. It starts with Starling Marte then.
That's a very interesting thought. All right, I want to get to the Mets now because you brought up the Mets. Okay, Diaz is out there. There's Syndergaard. There's Wheeler. They acquired Stroman. Okay, let's start with why, and then does it become a domino to them doing something else?
Well, what's funny is it doesn't make a lot of sense because Stroman has fewer years of control and less upside than Noah Syndergaard. It doesn't make much sense to trade for Stroman and then look to trade Syndergaard. So it seems like a really dumb move that we can make fun of the Mets for. But with Madison Bumgarner maybe being off the market because the Giants aren't going to sell, maybe the Rangers hold on to Mike Minor because he still has another year of control and maybe they could contend next year. It looks like now the Mets basically just control the entire starting pitching market by trading for Stroman. Now they have all the arms and everybody has to come to them and pay their price. So if that was the thought process, that's an outstanding move. My hunch is it was more they like Stroman better for next year and they think Syndergaard needs a change of scenery. But if the idea was let's swoop in and do this and control the entire market, then that's a very, very savvy move because they hold all the chips right now.
Does it hurt to say the words the Mets might have been smart? Is it that, because normally those words are not in the same sentence.
I just don't believe it. I think they just wanted to swap out Stroman for Syndergaard for next year, and they're going to deal Wheeler too. But I also think they think they're about to go on a run since they got hot against the Pirates and now they're loading up. Those are more likely than them being so savvy to control the pitching market, in my opinion.
Let's re-examine that sentence for a moment. They just got hot against the Pirates. Okay,
yep.
I'm using your words.
Yep.
Okay.
But
this is
an organization. Keep in mind why they hired BBW. They went through the hiring process.
Right.
They were talking seriously with Ben Sherrington, who won a World Series with the Red Sox, and he told them he wanted to rebuild, so they didn't hire him. They hired somebody that said, I want to win now. They think that they're going to get hot, and they think that another 2015 run is possible. So that's how delusional the owners are.
All right, the Yankees just had a series to forget in Boston, in part because their pitching was bludgeoned. So what do the Yankees now do in the next 24 hours?
I think they absolutely have to get starting pitching. I mean, to see their starters get exposed by good offenses like that, and think about in the playoffs having to deal with maybe the Red Sox, maybe the Astros, maybe the Twins who already have over 200 home runs. I just don't think you can feel good about your chances to win the World Series with the rotation getting knocked around by good offenses when that's all they're going to see in the playoffs. And you know, it's the Yankees. So anything less than winning a World Series is not good enough. Got to go out and get starting pitching.
Okay, if you're the Red Sox, are you looking at Diaz, Yates, Brad Hand, Vasquez, Giles, Watson? You're looking at, you need an arm in there.
Absolutely. I think they definitely... I feel like after the playoffs, you talked about how they just kept plugging starters back in and they weren't really overly relying on Craig Kimbrell. I think there was a little bit of arrogance in the offseason, like, we don't need a big-name closer or anything. Well, you don't necessarily need a big name, but you need guys you can rely on.
Yeah.
And they don't really have those. So out of all the names you named, I would take a handout. The Indians are gonna hold, if not buy, at this point. But any of those other guys would work. They need somebody back there that can be relied upon.
Vargas was acquired by the Phillies. And the Phillies, by the way, have depth in their organization at catcher. So they actually made a trade from strength. Does Vargas help the Phillies?
Yeah. He's back end. I don't love his upside or anything. He's not going to pitch like an all-star or anything like he did in the first half of 2017. But he's not bad. And with the year he's having, I think he's kind of settled in to be a consistent starter at the back end of the rotation. And that's what the Phillies need. They could really use some reliability and consistency. And I think he's going to give that to them. But again, he's more of like a four or five. So they could sure use somebody else, like we talked about earlier. I wouldn't mind seeing them put in a call on Zach Greinke.
Greinke, and do you think they need one more arm in the bullpen?
Yeah, or you always can. I mean, they're not as desperate as, like, the Dodgers or the Cubs or the Red Sox. But, gosh, I haven't heard a status update on David Robertson in forever.
I know.
You figure he comes back at some point. That gives a shot in the arm. But, yeah, they could definitely use somebody. But it sounds like all the prices are through the roof right now. It's coming down to the wire, man. We're less than 24 hours.
Right. I mean, because you look at the Phillies, they're 10th in the National League in bullpen ERA. Not great.
Yeah.
The Nationals are last in the National League in bullpen.
Yeah, that's the things I should have named when I said who's desperate. Because in front of Doolittle, it's an absolute mess.
Right, and to me, this screams of Tony Watson, Ken Giles. Just bring them all in for auditions.
Correct. Jake Diekman of the Royals. Diekman. If they reunite in Philly, ERA is not great, but a really high strikeout rate.
Yeah, because there's only one deadline. Is this more intriguing because there's no waiver deals?
I thought it was going to be, but instead it's been ridiculously slow and the game's frozen. Like I said, I feel like we're going to get just bombarded tomorrow, but it's very possible with the lack of clarity in terms of contenders and non-contenders that we get like the most boring deadline ever. I really hope that's not the case, though.
Well, this was far from the most boring segment. This was a great segment. Matt, thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it because it may be boring in what they're doing right now. It's not boring what you're talking about.
All right. Thank you so much.
Hey, Matt, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Matt Snyder, Major League Baseball writer, CBSSports.com. It could be the Wild West tomorrow, or it could be Ward 3 in Danville. We'll come back with more in a moment. On News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Tomorrow could be wild. How about the Blue Jays? Eric Sogard, veteran utility guy. They're about to play the Tampa Bay Rays. And right before the game, they traded him, so he had to switch dugouts. It's like, okay. And Sogard's pretty good. He's hitting 300 with 10 home runs. Not bad. Mostly played with Oakland and Milwaukee in his career.
Doesn't happen all the time, but does on occasion.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we made a trade. Where am I going? Over there. Oh, thank you.
I mean, that was the thing earlier this year with Mike Muscala. I mean, he was, with the Clippers for, literally a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Barely 24 hours, and then ends up down the hall with the Lakers.
Yeah.
And, of course, then since then, now with Oklahoma City.
Yeah, he's with Oklahoma City, and he'll play there. I mean, look, Oklahoma City, no offense to Mike, but Oklahoma City's a decimated franchise now. And that is the way it is now. A small market team like that, I mean, over time, they traded James Harden, they lost Kevin Durant, and now Russell Westbrook. Man, they had all three of those guys at once, but different day, different topic. Ryan Snyder on Penn State football recruiting in the next half hour. Lash Bash was over the weekend. We'll talk about that and other recruiting items in the final half hour with him. But I think Matt Snyder brought up some really intriguing ideas. I'll tell you, here's another one for Zach Greinke. At one point, Greinke pitched, he's pitched for almost everybody, it feels like. He pitched for the Angels. He could actually go to the Angels. How about that? He could actually go to the Angels, go back. Okay. I mean, Edwin Diaz is a big name. I mean, if the Dodgers don't get Vasquez, they may want to go after Edwin Diaz, and the Red Sox are trying to get Edwin Diaz. Boy, do the Phillies need a starter, though. Let me throw out the name I gave you during the break.
Okay.
To everybody. Think about this. Greinke's the big name for Arizona, right? And he's the biggest chip that Mike Hazen has. No getting around. He's also $32 million. He has a no-trade clause. But that no-trade clauses are leverage clauses, okay? Let's be honest here. But there's another guy that they have as a pitcher. Robbie Ray. Robbie Ray would be a really interesting acquisition for anybody. And I think he'd be a really interesting acquisition if the Phillies were to acquire him. Robbie Ray.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Best product, best sales staff, best service department. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Get to Ryan Snyder in a moment. Remember back on May 25th, Howard Moore, an assistant basketball coach at Wisconsin, was driving with his family, and a woman was driving the wrong way on the highway on Michigan State Route 14 and struck the Moore vehicle head on. She was driving the wrong way. Now, the young woman that was driving the wrong way was pronounced dead at the scene. And if you recall, Howard Moore lost his wife, Jennifer, and his daughter, Jaden, in the accident. Now, his son, Jarrell, suffered minor injuries in the crash. But Moore, what a lot of people don't realize is Howard Moore, and he's the assistant basketball coach of Wisconsin, suffered serious burns in that crash. Well, everyone assumed that he'd be able to bounce back and he'd be coaching this year with Greg Gard at Wisconsin. And he's not going to be able to do that. According to a Moore family statement, Howard Moore recently experienced a medical issue at his home and suffered cardiac arrest while in an ambulance headed to a Madison area hospital. Eventually, they want to move him to a long-term care and rehabilitation facility. My goodness. The poor man has suffered so much, losing his wife, his daughter, now this. Imagine how his son's getting along. Moore returned to Wisconsin in June. He was receiving additional treatment at a Madison area hospital. And then this incident at home happened, and then on the way to the back to the hospital in the ambulance, he suffered a cardiac arrest. Oh, boy. He actually played for the Badgers back in the early 90s up to 95. So, I mean, wow. Boy. Our prayers are with him and his son. All right. Let's change up now and let's get to recruiting. A lot of people love to know how the recruiting pipeline is going. And nobody does a better job of keeping us in the pipeline than Ryan Snyder from Blue White Illustrated and Rivals.com. Ryan, welcome.
My wife would argue that I am the sports bozo of the day, but
While I do understand
that. I thought
that
it was a good joke.
We will keep you in high esteem. Should we have... normally, over the years, the Lash Bash has been with, all right, how many guys are they going to sign? Because they've had so many verbals and because of the recruiting clock, do we need to have a different vision as to what Lash Bash means?
Yeah, especially because of the recruiting clock. And last year, Penn State got a couple, right around the Lash Bash, and I think at least if people on the message boards understood that those were in the works. Those kids probably would have committed earlier, but wanted to wait until they got back on campus. So if you look at last year, they got a couple commitments, but those could have easily happened, weeks in advance. Where I'm coming with this is the recruiting clock. June now is the most important month outside of those final couple weeks before the early signing period, and mainly that's just because of the official visits now. And basically, if you're in a top recruit and you want to get your commitment over with before the season, June is your month. And I think we saw that with hundreds and maybe even thousands of top prospects across the country taking official visits to wherever it may be. It's usually about a 3-4 week stretch, and we see these guys go all over the country. So June now is going to be that month. And I think, we have 2 years now of seeing this, that all the action takes place. And really, the Lash Bash is still important, and that's still going to be a big family event. I think getting all the commits together and their families there is arguably the most important thing. But it's just taking a little bit of a back seat to June because of all those official visits and how busy June is now. So we'll see what happens. I mean, every recruiting class is different, but that's one trade, I guess you would say, that's really coming to light as we're into year two of spring official visits.
Does that then in turn maybe lay a foundation to have the 20, 21, and 22 group all together at the same time?
Yeah, exactly. And that's really what we saw this week. It was really heavy on younger prospects. And I think that's great for Penn State because, look, usually in years past, games were the first experience for top young prospects, come to the whiteout game or whatever game it may be. Usually that first big experience with Penn State was a game. Now, and don't get me wrong, some guys, everyone's different. It's not true for across the board, but I think in general, that's usually how it works. Now we're seeing a lot of Penn State's top prospects get here earlier, and that's the whole calendar is getting earlier and earlier, but some we saw in the spring, but really, especially even if you include the June camp, and then now, a lot of the guys really just kind of got offers in June, and now they're coming back for their first true visit, and a lot of them, worked out for the Lash Bash. So that's definitely going to be an event that helps, I think, springboard Penn State with 21 and 2022. And really, we're seeing that all across the country. I mean, Penn State's far from the only school that, hosted a big barbecue or some sort of big recruiting event this weekend. But it's just good to get a good foot in the door early. Now these guys know what James Franklin's like. Now they know, what the Lash facility and all these, campus and all that is like. And now when they come to games, they just have that full experience. It's not, they don't just know the whiteout, domination, all that good stuff.
When you've talked to student athletes that are looking at various schools, we know that there's been money invested in facilities across the country. Penn State certainly, without question, upgraded its locker room right away, and they're in the midst of other upgrades. You're looking for any edge or to at least stay even with somebody else. Have the facilities helped them stay in the ball game with some people because of what they've done?
Yeah, they're catching up. There's no doubt about that. We're hearing much more about, man, that locker room is, sweet, or the new player lounge. That was right. That's a big topic we've seen recently, about how cool the player lounge is. So there's still room for improvement. I mean, listen, if you compare it to some of the things we've seen down south, it's still, there's still a lot that could be added. Now, a lot of it's unnecessary, too, and I think it also kind of speaks with Penn State's brand a little bit. They're not always just about, over-the-top stuff. They get down to business a little more, and I think that there's a lot of parents that respect that. you know, to kids, it's everyone's different, but you know, a lot of kids are going to see those bells and whistles. But I think parents kind of respect that stuff a bit more. But but anyway, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of work still to go. You know, and I think James would be the first to tell you that he'd like to still add a lot of things. But there's no doubt about it that, you know, the upgraded weight room has been a while now, but we still hear about that a lot. Obviously, the locker room, the team rooms. I mean, team room is actually something that you know, we hear about a lot too. So it's definitely still a work in progress, but Penn State is certainly catching up, which is good to see.
Yeah, most football programs don't need a lazy river.
Or a mini golf course.
Or a mini golf course or any of that stuff.
I mean, we can go all day.
Yeah, you can go on and on with some of that stuff. But
I really have had a lot of parents tell me that, Steve, where they're just like, you know, I don't really like all those bells and whistles. I'm sending my kid here to get an education and, you know, to focus, not really on football, but, you know, just to – football helps these guys mature, I guess, if that makes sense. And I've just had a lot of parents say, you know what, I really respect that they just kind of get down to business. I mean, they see the academic room, too, and how much money they put in that academic facility. Just so many parents that actually I'm just hearing more and more, especially these are top parents that see everything. They just respect that. So I think that's something Penn State has going for.
Look, Penn State's renovating smart.
They're
renovating smart. Give me a couple of guys that you're going to keep an eye on in the next few weeks that you know are Penn State targets and you know are also seriously considering the plays.
Yeah, well, there's two guys next week that I think Penn State fans will have their eyes on quite a bit. Zariah Fisher, defensive end, linebacker, Aliquippa. Man, I think it's been a while since Penn State's had Aliquippa. Do you know the last one, Steve? I'll pop my head. I'm not sure.
Top of my head, I don't know.
Yeah, it's been a while. So he's down to Michigan State, Penn State, was just here for the Lash Bash, was able to speak with him Sunday. A lot of good things, you know, just the typical stuff, you know, really good family atmosphere, enjoys the coaches, that kind of stuff.
Right.
He's down to Michigan State and Penn State, and I think it's Penn State, but he's done a pretty good job at keeping things to himself. You know, some guys are very tight-lipped, others are a little more open with us. So he's someone who, at least so far, has kept it pretty tight. So we'll see. You know, we still have 5-6 days to go. So we'll see what we'll see if he cracks. We'll see. And then the other one is Keziah Holmes, a running back out of Florida. He was just at Florida State this past weekend. Everybody I talked to down there still thinks it's Penn State. We've been leaning that way for a while now. Real speedster. He was one of the top guys at the opening. You know, when it comes to 40 times, shuttle times, that kind of stuff. Just would be a real good playmaker for Penn State. You know, he's listed as a running back, but could definitely make plays in slot or, you know, running bubble routes out of the backfield, whatever it may be. Just a, you know, speedster type player that can be used in a bunch of different ways. So we think they're going to be Nittany Lions. We'll see what happens from there. And, you know, moving into August, it'll be a little slower, but they did offer another 2020 prospect this weekend, Ibrahim Traore. Up from New York, big offensive lineman, tested really well, had a great broad jump, I believe he ran the shuttle under 5 seconds, so showed some pretty good athleticism. We'll see what happens. You know, I think he's leaning towards Penn State. Whether he makes a move soon, though, I'm not sure. That's still something I have to learn. He's pretty quiet with the media, so I got to get my foot in the door there. But we know he's very interested, man. Whenever somebody's coming down here in July to try and get an offer and then obviously does, it just shows how committed and how interested they are and you know, potentially ending up here.
Blake Gilligan's going to punt for his final season here at Penn State. What door opened behind him?
Yeah, Taylor. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. I don't want to butcher it. But they added a punter from Norfolk State yesterday. I personally haven't – I've been so focused on Lash Bash that I haven't been able to just really look into him a lot yet. I know he was is it MEAC?
MEAC, yes.
Yeah. I know he you know, won some awards, had a good sophomore year last year. You know, obviously, with Blake here, I assume he'll redshirt. I believe he's walking on, and then, you know, we'll probably earn a scholarship, you know, 2 years from now. So we'll see what happens. I'd like to speak with Taylor. I haven't been able to get in touch with him yet, but hopefully I'll be able to do that here in the next couple of days. Just now I'm kind of turning the page a little bit from last draft.
I think there's a lesson to have been learned that when James first got here was that if you can work your numbers in such a way where suddenly somebody can count on the previous year and it opens the door to the possibility of more scholarships being given out. Is that what Penn State's doing right now?
Yeah, it feels that way. And especially with special teams, too. One thing I just want to add with special teams is, you know, they really were working hard to find, you know, a high school kicker or a punter. And, you know, they tested a lot of guys this year, and it just felt like they didn't find what they want. You know, so they had Stout come in now, and they've added him on scholarship. And, mm-hmm. you know, now Taylor. It feels like they've gone a different route, and they're really using the transfer portal to their advantage. And I respect that. I think that Penn State kind of has really done a good job to set them up with special teams down the road. And, of course, as we saw earlier in you know, Franklin's tenure, how important that could be. So I really like what they're doing there. I think they found the guys that they want. And, you know, they have some experience, and they're ready to step it up onto a big level.
I mean, I know we talk about recruiting, but camp is about to get underway. What's your thought on this particular team? Because you've watched them recruited over the years. You've watched some of it come to fruition. So what do you think of this team?
Talent's not a problem. There's no issue with talent. And it's arguably just as talented as, you know, what we saw a couple years ago with the Big Ten run. I've thought for a while now that 2020 is the year. And it's not that this year can't be fun. This could definitely still be a New Year's Six, you know, a Fiesta Bowl or – you know, maybe even a Rose Bowl. I just see this talent. I see a group here that, you know, if they can early in the year and they can come together and then, you know, be a solid unit, you know, when some of the games pick up, anything can happen. I personally just think that in 2 years from now, that could be the run that Penn State fans are really, you know, hoping for, especially, you know, if you look at the schedule, too, it kind of sets up well for Penn State. So we'll see. But I still think that they can win. You know, I think they can win 10 games if everything comes together. It's not going to be easy. You know, having Michigan State on the road, Ohio State on the road, Iowa on the road, you know, those are going to be tough games. But, you know, if it all comes together, the talent is not an issue. That's clear for everybody to see.
You do this all the time. How often do you actually get asked about the current team? I mean,
not a lot.
I would guess you hardly ever get asked about what you're
doing. No, not a lot. And
team.
That's cool. And I like that, and I don't. You know, there's some things where, like, I know, correction, I like it. I actually do like to talk about the team a lot just because, you know, I grew up around the program and I feel like I've never, you know, no one really ever associates that with me anymore, which is okay because recruiting is my thing and I enjoy it.
But there's another part to it, too. You talk about the recruiting part. Now you're actually seeing how it plays out.
Yeah, and that's my favorite thing about the job, though. You develop these relationships with these guys when they're 15 sometimes. And then you get to see them live out their dreams. And, you know, for guys like Micah and Etor and some of these guys that are, you know, really, you know, showing signs that they can really reach that that top level, it's great. You know, especially, you know, someone like, you know, Etor's, Robert Matos, for example. I mean, I don't talk too much anymore. I'm not really allowed to. But, you know, I've known his dad for a long time. I'm really excited for that family. You know, they were very good to me when he was coming through the process. So, you know, to see everything coming together for them, that's what I really enjoy about this more than anything. You know, looking at Saquon now and, you know, all the other guys coming through the ranks, that's what makes it fun for me, at least. That's where I stand, at least.
Every kid is different. You talked about how there was a last time you were on about how one guy is not on social media, period.
Yeah, right? That's interesting.
Right? Which is different. You talked about you haven't had a chance to get to know a couple of other guys in this group. I know it's individual, but are you finding more people open, or are you finding more doors not quite as open as they used to be just because of how overwhelming recruiting
can
be?
Yeah, actually, I was actually speaking with a recruit about this exact same thing last night. Guys are definitely becoming a bit more sheltered, and I respect it, to be honest, because it is a lot. It's no longer just one or two websites. You know, every newspaper is interested. Every blog is interested. Everybody covers recruiting, which is okay, and there's nothing wrong with that. What I do and what another journalist does, I don't look down on them or nothing like that. So I totally respect it. But, you know, there are definitely a few guys in this class who have just absolutely nothing to do with it, and that's okay. You know, at the end of the day, they're going out of their way to help me. I'm not the one. I'm the one benefiting. They're the one, you know, finding time out of their day to help myself, help other people out. So if they're not interested in it, I totally respect that. You know, some families also think it's just good to not have their, you know, don't want to go bigger head or whatever it may be, just keep the eye on the prize. So we're definitely seeing that more, which is, you know, I don't want to say it makes my job harder. My job's pretty easy. I don't want to act like I have a difficult job, but I just got to find different ways, different people. Coaches are becoming more important and getting your foot in the door with parents, especially parents, man. Parents are the most important thing to me. If I build trust with them, I feel good. And that's kind of my main goal.
Probably feel a little differently now you have one.
Yeah, right? I got one on the way.
Congratulations. That's great.
Yep.
That's great. Do you know?
Ohio State weekend, Steve. Thank God that's away this year.
And do you know?
Little boy. Yeah, we found out a couple weeks ago.
Wow.
Yeah, Aiden's going to have a tag team partner. This should be interesting.
Thomas Frank Carr Snyder.
Yeah, right?
So, Ron Moeller had a grandchild. Okay, it was a boy. He said, and we said, so we don't have a name yet. So I said, well, how about Stephen Jack?
That's there you go.
He looked at me and says, we're not doing that. Come on.
So, we still haven't got that far yet.
I said, Jack's
working.
I said, Jack's a good middle name. Come on.
Actually, Jack is going to be our middle. That's the one thing I know, actually, because her grandfather's name was Jack. So that's the one thing we actually do have.
That's
middle
okay.
Name.
That's okay. I'll tell Jack Ham. Says, you won't believe they named the middle name after you.
Hey, Jack's been great to me. I'll let him know that. That's fine.
Hey, Ryan. Best of luck. Appreciate it. Congratulations. We're absolutely thrilled for you. And
thanks, Steve.
And by the way, I know families come in from out of town, and when it comes to the sports bozo of the day thing, I mean, you aren't, and I actually will vouch for you.
I appreciate it. They're downstairs. We're waiting to go out. It actually worked out well. It's raining right now, so we had to hang inside. So it worked out well.
Thanks, Ryan. Talk soon.
Yep. See you soon, guys. Take care.
Ryan Snyder, Blue at IllustratedRivals.com. Wrapping up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. All right. Look forward to being with you tomorrow. And, Thursday the Phillies have a game, right?
Yep, day game with San Francisco. See if Madison Bumgarner is still with the team on Thursday.
It sounds like, according to what Matt Snyder said, he will be. Wow. This could either be very, very exciting tomorrow, or it could be very, very dull. Really brilliant, astute analysis, don't you think?
Strong.
You always have my back.
You got it.
I mean, in our department of the company, we don't have the saying of when we're doing nothing, we're actually doing something.
It's actually part of my pay grade. It's not above it.
Just so you know, we only feel like we're doing something when we're actually doing something.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.